things that that's the line in the sand for you is Pepsi?
That's the line in the sand for me. No, it's just you know.
Like, is it really Pepsi over Coke for you?
I drink both. I
That's not the
just.
question that I asked you. If you were to go to a restaurant and a rest and you asked for Coke and the restaurant's like, "I don't have Coke, but we have Pepsi." What is your response?
All right, whatever. I'm not
Welcome
gonna
to
like
another
lose.
episode of my co-host is whack. Okay, we don't do Pepsi over here, even though I do live in a Pepsi state. We don't do Pepsi
What's
over here.
crazy is I didn't even realize you were recorded because you said wait, and then you hit that record button. So you try to catch me slipping,
I did try to catch you slipping.
and you ain't shit.
I've
You
heard that
truly
from
ain't
so many
shit.
people. That's fine. It's my Scorpio nature. I'll
I'm
be
about
like
to head butt
Candice.
you. Oh, sorry,
On
wrong
Real
candy, wrong
Housewives.
candy, wrong candy, wrong candy.
I have not watched the trailer. I'm not interested. Like the trailer dropped, and I was like, oh, okay, and kept going
That's
about my
cool.
life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I did watch a trailer this morning, but like, I saw the candy said she was gonna headbutt somebody bit first, and I was just like, oh, this is happening.
And then she'll
Okay.
cry, and then we'll all move on.
Apparently, the show to watch is that like SWV Escape show, and it's just, you know, I don't care.
Look, Real Housewives, not Real Housewives, excuse me. What is it called? Huntsville, Married, Love and Marriage in Huntsville is coming back, and that is my show. When I say the ghetto and Brokey Broke, what is her name?
Sheree.
Sheree, see, you knew. Sheree is gonna be on Huntsville because she's dating Martell.
You know, nobody picks men like Sheree. Nobody does. Her ex-husband, the one that was in prison.
Tyrone.
No shade to anybody in prison, because you know the justice system sucks. But like, there's some people who are in prison because they belong in prison. I'm just gonna say that.
I just don't understand how you could watch and not say that Melody is a peach, but that you could watch what he did to Melody and be like, that's the man I don't get me wrong, Martell is fine. But to like debut him as the
Nah.
main piece.
When I saw that clip going viral of Martell being like, go fix your own breakfast, whatever that clip was, but you know what clip I'm talking about. I was like, that man is handsome, but like, no, absolutely not.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like,
Like, I would take him for like, come at the back at 11 o'clock when my kids are asleep, and then leave at the back door.
yes. Martell is
But in
here for a
public
good time, not for
during
a
the
long
day?
time. Absolutely not. I don't, I love myself way too much, you know. Matter of fact, don't even come to my house. Meet me at the hotel. I don't want you knowing where I
I feel like
live.
Martell would make me pay for it.
And you know what? I would pay for my own hotel with Martell because I don't want no receipts tying me to this man. I want to be in control of the narrative. That's what I want.
I want you out.
I want to send the, yo, I'm going to arrive first. Get the room.
Want to
I'm the
treat
one
him
doing
like the
this.
hoe he is.
Yes, the fuck? The absolute fuck? No. Are you kidding me? That means a piece of shit. But
I
I
just
know he got
charade.
some good dick. And like, I'm
You ain't never told a
sorry.
lie.
I'm sorry. The way
And I
he
really
embarrassed
feel.
his wife, there is no way. No way I'm claiming that man.
I
Y'all could
feel
be
like
like,
Melody still loves him, but Melody will not put herself out in these streets embarrassed. Like,
I mean,
not
it's
once
kind of
nor
like that
twice.
Pamela Tommy Lee thing where she's like, I'll always love him. He gave me my kids. But I mean,
Don't
like.
know. Mel might have to die. Nah, because his side piece is always on social media. Like, you couldn't even pick a
His
side
side
piece
piece
who knew
also
how to be a
talks like
side
she can't
piece.
read.
so does Martell. There's an episode last season. He just released like new wine. And so he's, you know, he's doing his thank yous and he's doing his introduction for the wines. And I was like, clearly Melody was the brain behind their business. Cause it was,
she was the one writing the script.
It was hard to watch. Ooh.
Hard to listen. Like,
it felt like, you remember you would be in like grade school and the teacher would pick on the boy that you knew could not read.
And everybody just starts sucking their teeth.
And he was cotton picking them words. That's what it felt like.
Kids were horrible because they would be like, all right, and Sean, it's your turn to read.
And they'd be like, oh, not
Sean. Oh, he can't read. Now, Jason, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Anyway, guys, this is the Love and Marriage Elementary School podcast that we like to call Black Girl Charm. I'm Ray, joined by my co-host,
Janelle.
So because this episode is hot garbage, we're going to change the format a little bit. So this is probably going to be a shorter episode. I know we try to say that a lot, but we discussed this in pre-pro. We have the plan. We might get sidetracked, but in regards to this actual episode, we moving. We moving fast, baby.
Yeah. I don't even know if I have the energy to, like, yeah.
All right, so what were you watching this week?
Oh my God. So I've been watching some shows, guys. I haven't been reading because I don't have the brain power, but I've been watching some shows. I started watching Put a Ring on It again. Oh, the drama. You need to watch Put a Ring on It. When I say people be putting
it in, I feel like you're trying to get me to watch this show for seasons.
Every season, because it'd be like last season. If you don't watch any other season, last season just for the reunion was great. Basically, it's five Black couples or four Black couples, right? And they haven't gotten married. Last season, a couple of them were the men. Like, I want to marry her. She don't want to marry me. So you're like, interesting. Intriguing.
Why don't she want to marry you?
Right. So for you to figure out whether or not you want to marry this person, you go out on dates with other people. Do you see the drama?
Yes. Yes. Remember you trying to sell me on this last season. Secondhand embarrassment won't allow me to watch it.
But the great part is there's really no secondhand embarrassment. It's just like Love is Blind is secondhand embarrassment. Like, really? That's what you did, sis? This is more like, oh my God. Oh my God. You won't let this man talk to you? Like it's like that. It's really good. And it's not ghetto like Love and Hip Hop. So it's a good medium. It's a good medium. I think we both watch Real Housewives.
Yes, I am not caught up on this last episode, but
neither am I.
It is a hot mess. Candy ass and Portia. I knew they were gonna give me some bullshit, and I was here. I was lapping it up. From the time I saw the trailer, I was like, I'm here. This is the one I'm gonna watch the whole way through.
I just feel like, and I might get some backlash, that Candice can't ever talk about colorism after the whole Ladyboy name ceremony. Like, that's not how we act.
I felt really uncomfortable. I felt slightly uncomfortable with the whole Ladyboy thing. Because I was like, this don't feel right. I can't put my finger on why it don't feel right. But it don't feel right. And then we got into the whole naming thing. And I was just like, oh, okay. This is the mess we signed up for. This is the mess I came here for. And I knew Candy Ass was going to give it to me.
And the fact that Candice, like, whatever your issue is with Giselle, and you wouldn't call her neck and cankles and all that stuff, but the fact that you gave Leah the okay to call Giselle neck,
yeah, it doesn't sit right. When my caption said Leah neck, I said, absolutely the fuck not. Absolutely not. Oh, no. No, 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 no. I don't like this. And, like, Leah don't even bring neck energy. It's just like...
No.
It's like when your little sister hear you curse for the first time, so she thinks she could curse. And it's just like...
And then your mama punch you in the face. Like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I'm just glad that Giselle is continually unbothered, because you see how much her unbotheredness bothers Candice. And I wish Monique had kept that same energy instead of dragging her. Like, a piece of me wishes that Giselle and Monique could have, like, overcome their differences.
But no, Giselle is too petty for that. Giselle I know, is too petty for that.
But gosh, they would have been the power duo. What could have been? What could have been? It would have been Giselle, Monique, and her bird. Boom.
Recipe to Tala.
What else? Did I watch anything else interesting? Oh, I did watch I See You. It was all over TikTok. So we did watch that. It was really good. Had some little twists and some little turns. I was like, oh. But it was good. So it's on Netflix. It's a movie. I can't give too much away without giving too much away. So just go watch it. It's not horror, because you know I don't like horror. But it's a psychological thriller.
I do love me some psychological thrillers. I do.
I've noticed that I like psychological thrillers, because my last couple of books in Book of the Month Club have all been thrillers.
I like a man that can, like, walk me through some, like, take my mind on a journey. Don't take my adrenaline on the journey. Yes. Don't do that. Take my mind on this journey. I don't
like blood or gore or anything like that.
Mm-mm. Like, I'm not a horror person. Although, I love the Scream franchise. Like, Scream 3.
But I feel like it has a healthy amount of comedy in it, too.
Yeah, yo.
It does
Scream
it well.
Scream 3 is so good. Oh, that's, like, my favorite one in the whole, like, franchise. But, like...
It's been so long. Maybe I will sit down and watch them sometimes. I'm about to go play this. I've been saying this for a while, but I finally charged the battery for my Xbox controller. I'm finally about to go play Cult of the Lamb. And I feel like my Scorpio self is like, yes, follow me. Devote yourself to me.
So, speaking of games, I am now playing Grand Theft Auto online. Again.
Oh.
Online. Yeah. I will not give you guys my gamer tag, because I've already been scarred by playing online. Like, this guy, like, stalked me. It was literally out of a horror movie. Like, he would just, like, find me on the map and, like, ran me off the road till my car exploded. And then he would get his friend to do it. So it'd be, like, one silver truck and then one red truck. And then, like, they have this horn that plays, and, like, they would just blow their fucking horn. So I would just hear it in the distance, and it would just get louder.
Stuff? What is this? What kind of racist run me off the...
Yo, when I tell you, I was having fun, and then that happened. I put the game down for like 4 days. I was like, I'm not. I'm scarred.
I'm horrified.
It was legitimately a horror movie. Again, the horns were in the distance, and then you just hear it getting louder and louder and louder. And I think what happened was, like, I outmaneuvered them one time and got away from them, and they were like, it was really like The Hitcher, but like, but on some fucking Grand Theft Auto shit.
Oh my God. Oh no. Yeah. I have so many games. I don't know what else to play after The Cult of the Lamb. So if you guys have any recommendations, I like cozy games. Not too much farming simulations, because, you know, I don't farm for free.
Gotta make a ratio.
Always. Do you know who I am? Come on now. Oh my gosh. So our baby sister. I FaceTimed her today, and she was wearing a shirt that said Cookies and Cream. And I asked her, is that a Cookies and Cream shirt? And she said, don't start. And I was like, don't start what? Biracial girl. She's biracial.
You're annoying.
That's the same thing she said. And I'm okay with that. I am the older sister. I am allowed to do this. What have you been doing? What have you been watching? What have you been up to besides being terrorized?
Right? I've been watching Perry Mason season 2. Like, I blew through that last week, but I got through all of season 1. We're on season 2 now. Love me some Matthew Rhys, you know. My heart. It's not your mama's Perry Mason. It's your daddy's Perry Mason because it's on HBO. And there's a whole lot of cussing and nudity.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. This is the new Perry Mason. Oh, I thought you were doing a walk down memory lane. I can't tell him no. There's a new Perry Mason. He's going to be like, there's blasphemy.
I love me some Matthew Rhys. So, like, and seeing him in person at that Men in Blazer show was so much fun because he's funny. But anyway, Lucius Fox from Gotham, the best Batman show ever. It's also on Perry Mason.
I'm looking up all of these people now. I put up Lucius Fox and I got a comic book character.
Yeah. He's Morgan Freeman's character on the Fox show.
Okay. But he's also on Perry Mason? Mm-hmm. Like Morgan Freeman's on Perry Mason?
No, the guy who plays Lucius Fox on Gotham.
Oh, okay. I was confused. Christopher Eugene Chalk. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Look at me looking this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
He's handsome. What do I know him from?
So much.
I've never seen any of these things.
What?
He is in Negro movies. When They See Us, 12 Years a Slave.
Sorry. Did not see that. Will not see that. He was on Blacklist. You should have seen that
maybe
one.
Maybe that's where I know him from. Okay. Maybe that's where I know him from. There we go. I was like, oh my God, all these Negro movies.
I've been watching like Junior Bake Off and Reason 452 why I can't have kids. Because if they tell my child that their cake is underbaked, I'm going to sob. I'm going to be right along crying with them. I'm okay with
that's
that.
That's why I couldn't watch Junior Bake Off. I was like, these old bitch asses, one, they cook better than me, and two, these emotions, I just can't. I'm trying my best.
There's a little black girl in the season I'm watching, and she made like a pineapple carrot cake to remind her, and it was like from her backyard at home and everything like that. And it was disgusting. Like a little, it was actually delicious according to them, was the way she spiced it. Anyway,
oh, okay,
but it was gummy, and you can just see her like she. They were praising her spices, and then they said it was gummy, and you can just see like the little heartbreak. And I just paused it and looked at Joe and was like, "You really want me to just be like, that's okay, baby. Sometimes your best isn't good enough." But she's looking at you like that with those big brown eyes. Absolutely not. I can't. But it's such a good show. It's so cute.
You call your auntie now, and then auntie now go up there mad quick and start fighting people.
I needed some wholesomeness in my life, and I like Junior Bake Off is definitely giving it. But it's also like I hate watching these poor kids be like, "All right,
I can't do it. I can't." The emotions are just too much for me.
I mean, I love Liam, the co-host. Rav, you know. Rav is cool. I'm here for Liam and the kids. But, you know, Rav is also on the ship.
I know. This is too much.
And last but not least, I saw Bad Cinderella. And there's a part in this show that reminds me of Love and Hip Hop. Atlanta. And
Atlanta.
Yes. So it reminds me of like when Jessica Dime was talking to Jocelyn. It's like, you know me from the strip club. You know me from the strip club. Don't act like you don't know me. There is a scene in that play where it's like, I knew you when. I knew you when. And it's pretty much like, I knew you when you was a hoe, bitch. Don't play with me. Don't play with me. And she's like, bitch, I knew when you were a hoe. So don't play with me. And I just thought that was really cute. Because sometimes, you know, it was like Love and Hip Hop meets Broadway. And I'm just like, the entire time I'm watching these two performers act, I'm literally thinking about the scene in Love and Hip Hop Atlanta where Jessica Dime was like, you know me, Jocelyn. You know me. And
I'm just sad that we're losing the Phantom for this.
That's fine. A lot of people are. But, like, I'll say that. That was my favorite part. Anytime I hear be reminded of ratchetry while on Broadway, sign me up.
Oh, my goodness.
Get into this snoozer of an episode. So, okay. We are on season 2, episode 15. Give me a sign. The original air date is February 24, 2000. The writer of this episode is Cheryl J. Anderson. Her full credits are on season 1, episode 9. The director is James A. Cotner. His full credits are on season 1, episode 8. The guest stars this week, we have Steve Railsback, who played Litvak. He has 92 acting credits, including The Twilight Zone, The X-Files, Disturbing Behavior, The Practice, and Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Mee played guard number one. 73 acting credits, including Buffy, Little Miss Sunshine, Fast Five, and Chicago PD. Anthony Holliday as the other guard has 50 credits, including Mistresses and Life in Pieces. And Anthony Holliday is that guard that was like, trash going in, trash going out.
I was like, sir. Sir. How dare you?
I mean, to be fair, that is the realest shit I've ever heard on Charm. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Trash going in, trash going out. And you know, Anthony Holliday sold that line. And kudos to you, my brother.
I was like, really? It had to be a black cop that said that, really?
Sal Rodino, guard number 2, 125 credits. That include SVU, Royal Pains, and Frasier. Our baby.
I don't know what to do with those sauce salads and scrambled eggs.
Antonio Sabato Jr., Bane Jessup. You got his full credits in season 2, episode 9. And Keith Brunsman plays Litvak's assistant. 29 acting credits that include Drake and Josh, Profiler, The X-Files, and Buffy. So, you know, a pretty stacked list. The trivia. There's a lot of trivia. So I'm going to take a big sip of this, you know, delicious water.
She's bougie. She's drinking Essentia.
You know, last week we were drinking a lot of liquor, and this week I wanted to be a good person.
I was going to drink some person, liquor, guys. But I didn't want to go on no rant like I did last week.
I know. Last week was a test to like how much we try to rein ourselves in when it comes to rants, because whoo, Chile.
I was editing it and I was like, all right, I get the point. Evil
people. I know. I legitimately, after you edited it and then gave it to me to listen to, I was just like, wrap this shit the fuck up. Like,
I didn't even know, like, it was so, because I feel like every time I brought up Evil Phoebe, I had another point and I was like,
yo, listen to it from. I was trying to listen to it for, like, the trigger warning, and it was like, it's still not here yet. It's still not here. All right, maybe.
It started at, like, 6 minutes.
I just said skip. I didn't even do like the. I just said jump right into like to the episode because it was legitimately the Evil Lives Here segment. And God, I'm watching that show too. As that's like my background show now because sometimes it's bad and sometimes it's just
it's
like
funny. It's really funny.
Sometimes it's just like I know you a victim. But there were so many ways you can get out. There were so
There was one, and it was like this old lady, and she kept talking about like how bad he was, but then he would disappear for weeks, and Mel would be like, "So why are you waiting?
When did you?
When he disappeared?"
Like the one I was
so sorry for you, bitch. I don't
like the one I was watching last night. That was like a really good one because he was like, I hesitated and I shouldn't have. I should have killed my dad. And I was like, this is what I watched this show for. This is what I watched this show for. All right.
That's a lot. That's a
there
lot.
There was another though. There was another one where the father was like, I wish my son was dead. And if he gets shanked in prison, that's good enough for me. And I was just like, well, well then. Well, then.
Take but anyway, my Pikachu into... face.
So, into this trivia. So, this is the second appearance of Antonio Sabato Jr. Apparently, the fans really, really, really liked him, and they brought him back. And if that was the case, why did it end the way it did? But anyway. The source is mentioned for the first time this episode. Although he was mentioned in season one, but it was just like a he kind of thing. Litvak is the last name of a writer and producer for the series. Steve Railsback, who played Litvak, is the first actor credited with a special appearance. For what?
I mean, just because he got... That man got, he got credits.
You know what? He got Leo credits because Leo was a special appearance for a long time. Anyway, this episode marks the first reference with Demian as an upper level, indicating a hierarchy in the underworld. This codification is subsequently used throughout the remainder of the series. When Phoebe accidentally sits on the remote and the TV turns to the newswoman, the Mariners lose to the Angels 8-7, which they interpret as 8-7, even though Piper and Phoebe abandoned their theory that the signs were pointing towards Piper's true love and decided that they were pointing towards finding Prue. It's an obvious pointer of what's to come. The Mariners, Dan, lose to the Angels, Leo. So, ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. I'm so fucking annoyed. This is the first episode where Dorian Gregory is credited first after the sisters in the opening credits. And last but not least, this episode is also a part of a behind the scenes and interviews from the E! Documentary special, The Women of Charmed. So if I remember this, sometime between recording this episode and when I have to listen to it again. So if I remember this, somewhere between this episode and when I have to listen to it again, I'll try to find my clips from that documentary and I'll post it on the Tiki Talkies. Yeah. Whew, that was a lot. Oh, man. Any thoughts before I jump into the summary?
I'm over it. All right. I'm over Dan. I'm over Piper. I feel like she deserves everything she gets, including that man being frozen for forever. I just hate it. Okay.
So, the Peacock summary is, Prue is abducted by a former flame who is fleeing from a powerful demon. And you know what? He was a former flame. They didn't get to, you know, knock boots in that last episode.
They knocked boots in this episode.
The IMDb synopsis is, Prue cannot resist the attraction she feels for her kidnapper when she's abducted by a former flame who was fleeing a powerful demon.
What kind of Stockholm Syndrome shit is that?
And last but not least, when criminal mastermind Bane Jessup narrowly escapes and attacked by a powerful demon, he kidnaps Prue and forces her to use her powers to save him.
Mm-mm-mm. Criminal mastermind.
That's exactly what I said.
Criminal mastermind. What?
This man? I mean, the jewelry and all like the things that Prue got, he had to be like, I would say master thief, not criminal mastermind, because Prue was able to give up mad jewelry, mad art, so much stuff. All right, so let's get into the summary of this episode.
I guess. So we in jail again. And two mad suspicious sheriffs come to what we find out to be Bane's cell and tell him that his hearing has been moved up. And Bane's like, my lawyer ain't called me. My lawyer ain't told me that. That don't make no sense. Where's my suit? And they're like, do you want to go or not? And I feel like a piece of him wanted to be like, no, I don't. But he went. They went outside. But he did go, so Litvak sent you, didn't he? And then he starts to like tussle with the deputies. One of the deputies pulls out something and he fires it, but Bane moves out the way and the other deputy gets hit with it. Where is the watch guy? Who be watching?
This is the most low security ass prison.
There was this whole fight. Bane wins the struggle, basically. Whatever the thing the guy had with the powers gets slid underneath the van. And Bane then runs into another van. This isn't making sense to me. So there was a guy less than a foot away at the gate.
And all he says is, hey, stop. He don't pull out no gun. He don't like radio.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this guard don't ring, like nothing. He ain't seen a fight. Like, he was like, well, they told me to watch the gate, so I gotta watch the gate.
If you don't get your narrow ass out there.
So the next scene, Papa Phoebe looking that cute. They had a little running outfit.
There's a train coming through my house.
Come and ride the train. And ride it. Choo-choo. Come and ride the train. Okay. So Piper and Phoebe come back from running. They looked really, really cute. And Piper is still talking about who she want, Leo or Dan. And Phoebe's over it. Phoebe's like, you've been talking about this for like...
I've been over it for so long. And this bitch just keeps on talking about
right, for 28 minutes. Phoebe says that she can write a spell to help Piper decide, but Piper feels like it's going to be personal gain. I wanted to fight Phoebe in this next scene, though, because Prue, they go into the living room, and Prue has all of this stuff. She decides that she wants to be a personal photographer, and I was like, that's my girl. Like my other girl. Look at them being professional photographers. Ah! And I was like, look at her going into her nest egg, because she had everything. I was like, okay, Prue, you were hiding some money for yourself. I am proud of you. And she was talking about she's been nervous about taking this next step. And Phoebe want to automatically be a hater. Automatically.
So the only thing about this scene that really like annoyed the shit out of me was like Phoebe said that there's no real money in photography. Because, like, how many female photographers do you know?
Which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And it's not even just that. Let's talk about it's the misogyny and, like the boys club that causes there to be, for us to not know that many female photographers. And, like, that problem is so prevalent today, which is why organizations, baby fell, because Panther's on the way. Because of, like, the misogyny and, like, the boys club of photography, organizations like Black Women Photographers exist. So we're supposed to be, like, women empowering. Let's actually talk about that instead of, like, saying that there's no money in photography.
She's a hater. There's no money in being a bum, okay?
And, like, you just got your life on track. Why are you over here acting like you know everything? Like, you take one psych, Oh, she takes psych 101 and want to act like she know everything. You don't even have your degree to act like this. What's wrong with you?
Piper remembers that in high school, that's what Prue wanted to be. She wanted to be a photographer and only started working at the museum because she had to keep the house. Phoebe also then points out that in her past life that we just saw, she was a very good photographer. So clearly, this is the path that Prue should be on. But Phoebe's a hater. She uses, I guess she uses the commotion to go into the bathroom to write a, it looks like it's a bathroom, right? Because she locks the door and Piper's like, where are you going?
Yeah.
And she writes a spell. Prue is taking a picture of herself. And as she's like checking out the camera and the picture, Bane appears behind her. She drops her camera. Bane better be replacing that. She drops the camera and Bane slips chloroform over her mouth. And I just feel like you just got out of jail. You got on a suit.
Where'd you get chloroform from?
And fresh chloroform.
Where the fuck did the chloroform come from?
Like, your priorities, sir, is wild. So we go to the next scene. Obviously, Prue is gone. Phoebe tries to get a premonition off of Prue's camera. She cannot. And will I say, I don't know what 90s con did to me, but Dow walked in and I just see this man in a whole new light.
His IMDb picture does not do him justice. This IMDb picture makes him look older. But like, you're right, the 90 con pictures.
Oh my, I'm looking him up now on IMDb now that you brought it up. He is. Remember when he was sporting that little beard at the end of Charmed?
Mm-hmm.
Where he grew up. He was like, I'm a man. yeah, but he walked in and I was like, oh, hello, Dorian Gregory. How are you today, sir? He picks up the chloroform cloth after the two sisters tell him that Prue is missing. He sniffs it. He's like, yep, it's chloroform. And he immediately is like, I think it's Bane because Bane's out of jail. He may be out for revenge. And Piper doesn't understand why Bane would only take Prue, but Phoebe thinks that Bane's working with another demon to trap him. Daryl also hands the weapon that was dropped when they were in the jail, tussling, and Piper and Phoebe are sure that the weapon is demonic. Daryl is like, well, I can't put this back in, you know, evidence, so y'all just hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, okay, be just be stealing evidence, you see?
All right. Is it stealing evidence or is it like making sure that everything is the way it needs to be? Because what he gonna, yeah. How you going to register it?
I don't know. Like, it looked like a horn, though, didn't it?
It looked like a weird harmonica or like... It looked like a smoking pipe, if I'm being honest.
It did, yeah, like one of them like old timey smoking pipes. You got that, okay. So remember that Phoebe has cast a spell to help Piper figure out who she should be with. So as Daryl is leaving, a delivery man appears with a package from Leonardo's boutique in Bodega Bay, and Piper's like, oh, Leo is short for Leonardo, but Bodega's Bay is Dan's hometown. And automatically, I was like, the universe is telling you to have both. Like, I don't understand. That's what you did in the past life, and it seemed to work.
Right. It kind of did work.
The universe is like, both. Piper accused Phoebe of actually casting the spell. Phoebe admits it. This all happened, though, before Prue was kidnapped. Phoebe, when she grabs the weapon, finally has a vision, and she sees Prue bound, blindfold, and gagged by Bane. And I was like, oh, three of my favorite things. What is the problem here? So we then see Bane in this, like, unfinished house, and Prue is tied up. She has her eyes blindfolded because he knows Prue got telekinesis, and she could do stuff with her eyes. Prue was trying to get him to take off the blindfold, and he was like, I don't trust you. You're going to throw me against the wall. And he's trying to convince Prue to have her sister's help against the demon called Litvak, because he knows too much about demons, and so Litvak wants his lit back.
You're so silly.
He also admits that where they're in right now was his dream home, and he was building it for, like, you know, him, his kids, his wife, before the sisters got him locked up. And I'm like, we didn't get you locked up. You were doing bad shit. You're not going to just admit you were doing bad shit, but whatever.
Why would I do that?
He finally gets, Prue finally convinces him to take off the blindfolds, and then she flings him against the wall. Like, I mean, you knew that was going to happen, Bane. You knew that was going to happen. And so he blindfolds her again. So I feel like they both know. And you can feel, like, the tension just simmering in the room.
Yeah.
So the deputy that did not get lit up by the weapon goes to his boss, which is Litvak's assistant, and they're in a mausoleum. And I want you guys to take note of this mausoleum, because we see it a lot in season 3. They do admit that Bane is alive. Litvak comes and tells the deputy to get on his knees. And then he places his head on the deputy's head, and he sees everything that happened. And he was like, well, you gotta go. Choo, choo, choo. And the deputy goes up in flames, and he tells his assistants, now it's on you. You need to go find Bane, and you need to go find the weapon.
Well, he also was, yeah, because he's like, oh, you failed, and you lost the weapon. And his guy is like, you lost the weapon? Oh my God, yeah. I did.
So now we're back, and Leo is finally like, yeah, I know things. I can help you. He automatically recognizes the weapon. He says it's a weapon that's issued by a specific upper-level demon and can only be activated by a demon. We now learn that demons work their way up by promoting evil, but he doesn't know which demon, like, let the weapon go. So Phoebe goes to the Book of Shadows. Piper and Leo are talking. And Leo's just like, I want to help you more, but I'm stuck in my mortal form. We go back to Bane and Prue. Bane tells Prue that if he had the help of her sisters or her sisters, they can defeat Litvak, but she can't do it by herself. We go back to the Book of Shadows. The book offers several possible demons that could have issued the weapon, and then the book automatically flips into the Mariner Sea Fairies. Piper says that this is Dan because he was a former Seattle Mariner. And as they're, like, trying to discuss it, Prue shows up in astral projection form. Piper and Phoebe are relieved. Prue tells them that Bane has kidnapped her, but do not come after her because it's a trap. And then she vanishes back into thin air, back into her body. And Bane is like, oh my God, are you okay? And he, like, unbinds her. He's trying to get, like, her trust. He's like, look, there's a market a mile nearby. You're free to go. He doesn't want to put her in danger. She's not willing to help. But then at that point, Litvak assistant comes in, and he's like, pew, 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 pew. Bane gets shot. Prue deflects him into a wall. And then Prue notices that Bane is wounded because he fell on a knife onto the floor.
Bane gets wounded because he saves Prue. And that's what also causes Prue to, like, let down her guard, because she's like, oh my God, he could have, like, let me get hurt, but he didn't. He saved me. He pushed me out the way.
I mean, that's what it didn't work for Dan. It didn't work for Dan. So now we see that Bane's escape is all over news. Daryl could not keep it hush hush. Piper and Phoebe see the news report, call Daryl back to the manor. And Piper and Phoebe basically tell Daryl that we definitely know that it's Bane that kidnapped Prue. And Prue told them that she thought it was a trap. Daryl brings Bane's file over. And the sisters get a wrong number from a Leonora Watkins. We go back to Prue and Bane. And the tension, the heat, it's rising. Feel it with me. Prue is like, it's like one of them, like, romance movies where, like, they're not really, like, in love yet, but then he gets hurt protecting her, and she has, like, the hot water, and she's, like, pressing it up against his wound, and they're looking at each other, because he even does the, do you know what you're doing? And she's like, no, not really. And I was like, all right, simmer down, Cheryl. You're having way too much fun with this.
It was definitely giving, like, bodyguard and the protector kind of thing.
Yes,
where
yes.
Where the bodyguard gets injured protecting, like, his, I don't know what they, like, is that?
His charge?
His charge.
His assignment? And, I don't know.
Yeah, I like assignment because charge is for white lighters. You know, and she's just like, oh my God, I'm more than just a job to you. Ooh, this was some primo porn. Primo porn. I was here for it.
Bane is telling Prue, like, go after Litvak. Like, you need to destroy him. And she's like, no, I need to make sure that you're okay first. And she says, you know, if we escape this place, that's exactly what Litvak wants us to do. So let's just stay here and let me tend to all of your wounds. Piper and Phoebe are going through the file that Daryl has dropped off. And this man is a hustler. He's a con artist, a con man. He had a real estate. They find out that he used a real estate development to launder money. And in the file, they found a brochure for the development. And the brochure, the name of the development is Mariner's Bluff. Piper realizes that she's been reading the signs wrong and that they're leading her to Prue. It turns out that Mariner's Bluff is in Bodega Bay, and Leonora Watkins refers to Watkins Road exit. And then when they're trying to find out, like, well, which house, which lot number would be in, Phoebe accidentally turns the TV on. We talked about this earlier. She turned the TV on by sitting on it and hears that the Mariners lost to the Angels 8-7. And Piper realizes this means the lot 827. Phoebe sees it on the brochure, and then they get ready to go out. And I'm just like, or.
You call the cops.
The signs are like, clearly you're not going to get, like, we have been pointing to, I feel like the signs pointed to both of them, but we know that this, like, you see it here, right? Like, the Mariners lost to the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you could have had both. That's what the signs are pointing to. That's what your past life said. Come on. So Prue is now willing to trust Bane. He says this is the first time anyone's ever believed in him in a long time, and that he wasn't always a criminal, and he dreamt of an honest life, but he thinks it's too late for him. And Prue thinks that dreams are just dreams, and Bane doesn't believe that. And that sounds like a con man talking. If that's not what con men, you want to tell me that's not what con men do? Are they con into your panties like that? So Litvak, his assistant goes back to wherever they are in Demon World. And Litvak lays his head on the assistant, sees that now he sees that he's up against a charmed one. Litvak is like, let me wrap this up. Let's go and, you know, to the finish house and knock it out. And the assistant's like, no, I don't think they're going to stay because they know that I'm there. But Litvak's not worried. He's like, we're going to use their essence. And we just going, we're going to kill everybody. I'm going to kill Bane. We're going to kill the charmed ones. We're going to level up in this bitch. Prue offers to help Bane with Litvak finally. But he has to go back to jail. They kiss.
Wow.
Bane freezes. And Piper and Phoebe have arrived. And have just completely ruined the moment. Piper and Phoebe are upset. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe what I'm seeing here. Oh my God. Piper and Phoebe now are telling her basically everything that they have learned since she has been, quote unquote, kidnapped, and are kind of shocked and upset that Prue is like, no, I kind of trust Bane and I want to help him. And they look around, maybe they see panties. They see...
He naked.
He, yeah. There's a reason why Prue trusts Bane now.
Not only so did he save my life, he put his pain to the side to give me some pain.
Ooh. We go back to the manor. And Bane is looking for some peroxide. He's in the bathroom. Litvak shows in the mirror. And he turns around. Litvak's like, no, I'm telepathic. I'm doing this. Like, I'm not here with you. And he's like, I already know that you slept with Prue. And if you want to keep your life.
He said, I smell another essence. You better the witch. And I was just like, give me that old timey witch shit.
He says he would offer his life in exchange for the sisters and if he gets the weapon back. And Bane is like, no, I want to live a real life. I want to be happy. And Lifax like, I'm going to just continue sending demons until you die. Like, you can have your life or you could die, but you're going to die. So Phoebe finally finds Lifax in the Book of Shadows, but it doesn't tell him how to vanquish him. Bane tells Sister that Lifax knows about Prue because she had used her power when the assistant attacked. He's convinced that Lifax will make the first move, but doesn't really know what other powers he has. And he's being really suspicious about the whole thing. And Phoebe's looking at him she's like, I don't trust you. You just happen to know all this stuff. You sure you're not working with him? But again, Prue is like, I trust him. Let's go get the weapon. And as they go away, Lifax again appears to Bane, and Bane tells him that they're coming. So now we're like, oh my God, Bane, I just gave you everything. And this is how you repay me?
Yeah.
You fucking demon. You fucking man. So the sisters give the weapon to Bane. He enters where Lifax is. The sisters follow. Bane goes to present the weapon, not the women, to Lifax. And the sisters hide behind a wall. Piper tries to freeze the room and everybody freezes. We think Lifax is frozen. Piper goes to grab the weapon out of Lifax's hand, but he was only pretending to be frozen. I was like, oh my God, Piper, no. That had my heart palpitate. I was like, oh my God, Piper. Lifax raises.
It was giving me one of those like, those prank videos and shit where it's just like, it's a statue.
Lifax goes to raise a giant fireball and he's like, this will please the source. But the girls have a plan. Prue tells Piper to unfreeze Bane. Bane goes behind the assistant. He takes his weapon, blasts Lifax. Lifax shoots back. Honestly, I'm sick of this trope. We've done this so many goddamn times where we go to hit one and then one of the girls move and then they end up hitting their partner in crime. Okay, we get it. We get it. We've done this like 3 or 4 times this season alone. Like, alone. All right. All right. I feel like now it's like, you know, like Power Rangers when we used to watch it and you knew at a certain point in time when this episode was about to wrap up because of how like the fight scenes went. This is what it feels like. So Lifax shoots the assistant because Lifax, when Bane took his weapon and shot him, he was dying anyway. So they both died. They both dead. They dead. Mm-hmm. Everybody dead. So Bane basically, because Phoebe's like, I thought I was going to have to kill you too. Prue, why were you so comfortable with everything that was going on? And why didn't anybody fill us in? And Bane has to explain to everybody that he was telepathic. And so the moment I spoke out loud what I knew and what we were planning, Lifax would have already known. And he would have known that I knew and that you knew that I knew and that we all knew. So I had to keep it, you know, under control. And Prue was just like, we just have that like connection that I knew that he wasn't going to turn his back on me. And I was like, that's when you know you got the good shit? That is when you know you got the good shit. So Prue and Bane end up saying goodbye. Bane has to go to jail. He calls Daryl to clank him up. And Prue was like, I'm proud of you. I'll be waiting here when you get out.
With open legs.
Wide open. Phoebe and Piper
cracked. Sorry.
Oh my. Phoebe and Piper are wondering who the source is, right? So now we have a new plot line. Who is the source? Prue arrives back to where Phoebe and Piper are, lets them know Bane get locked up, clank, clank. Phoebe admits that they found Prue with the spell that she actually used to help Piper choose between Dan and Leo. We are sitting in that little alcove thing. Leo is at the bar in P3. And Piper is like, it doesn't matter what the signs say. I know who my heart is with. and she looks up at Leo, and Leo's like, is he like cleaning a glass or something like that? And like looks back at her and they smile. And that's how it ends. Guys, I'm done. Good night. I was
so annoyed. So we totally didn't even do after the credits. So I had just, you know, for continuity. I had on Peacock, Everything's All Right by the Pow Wows, and I'm not sure if that's appropriation or not. And you had Making It Up As I Go Along by Moon. As far as love interest chemistry, I only care about Bane and Prue, and
that was a little steamy.
You know, I had originally put that at 5 out of 5, but now thinking about it, I'm gonna bump it up. It's a 6 out of 10 one night stands, because I really wish they would have had at least 2 rounds of sex before he turned himself in.
Right, like give him something to fap or like something to put in the file.
Or why before her hating ass sisters came through.
Right. It just wrote to me like a really bad romance. It wrote like a Harlequin novel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna give it like 3 out of 5. I need to change my panties. It wasn't doing it for me.
I think it's more like, you know, she really wanted to get, she was fucking with Jack when she met Bane, and she was like, if I wasn't messing with this dumbass.
Yes.
And you were.
I've been sitting on your face.
I feel like this is one of those, I ain't never going to get to fuck this man again, so I'm going to take my opportunity. And sometimes
you gotta take your opportunity. And sometimes you got to do that.
Realistically, as far as how we would handle the conflict in the episode, there isn't anything really I would change, because, I mean, as far as how this episode goes, I just feel that, like, there's nothing I would change, but there's nothing that really, if you, this was a good,
boring.
It was like, all right, you need a filler episode, and this is one of those filler episodes. I mean, sometimes filler episodes are just meatier, or we would want them to be meatier or funnier.
Meatier.
Right. Sometimes you get like a good, like, standalone funny episode where it has nothing to do with the overall story or anything like
and
that.
And sometimes you kill all the dinosaurs.
Yeah. I think the only thing that this episode was good for was to let us know that the source is a thing, but.
And that Dan is we wrapping it up with Dan.
So tweaks we would have made to this episode. So Dan, I really wish Dan would have broken up with her by now, or at least given her an ultimatum, being like, you need to figure out what you want. Until then, I'm out. I'm done.
My boy goes out bad.
Because, I feel that, matter of fact, I guess that's how I would have done the episode. Dan would have been like, you know what, Piper? I love you. I want to be with you. For right now, there's somebody else but you. But it feels like you don't know what you want. So I'm going to need you to figure out what you want. But until then, we can't do this. And then
my jewelry.
Right. And then in this, and they cast a spell to find Prue, but they keep getting these like Mariner's notes and like these love, like things about Leo. It's the same like hints, but you're like, the intention was to find Prue. Yep. So it kind of like gives her that misdirect as well. And that might have been a little cuter versus what we got, because we got 28 minutes of her saying the same shit that she's been saying for how many episodes?
Ugh, boring. I just, now that we're like wrapping up the Dan versus Leo plotline, and it's not even like fully wrapped up, because there's so much that, like, Dan comes
happens
out in the next few episodes. Man. I wish Dan, like, got himself a new cute witch. And he knew she was a witch. Or something, like.
I know, like, in a couple of episodes, like, after she breaks up with him, she, like, be watching him come home and is just like, I'm so sorry. And it's just like,
You're a weirdo.
You're a weirdo. Like, you picked your lane. Stick with him. Stay in it. That's your man. Stick beside him.
And pay him. Well,
the rating?
Yeah.
I gave this 4 out of 10 panty balls because that was the only thing good about this episode.
I'm going to give it 2 out of 10 Bane dimples.
You know what?
And probably the only reason why I'm giving it 2 is because he has dimples on both sides. You got to keep it even.
I'm putting this in the TikTok/Instagram caption, but Prue needed the cobwebs dusted out of her nappy dugout. And I'm happy. I'm
not
happy.
Not the nappy dugout.
I'm happy somebody did it. And I'm happy it was Bane, honestly.
And not Jack.
Yes, I'm happy. Just Jack.
I'm ready to wrap this up. Bye, guys.
Right? Oh, my God, look at that. An hour and 3 minutes. An hour and 3 minutes. Yo. Look at us. I told you guys this is going to be a short episode because this shit sucked.
It was garbage. It sucked and it wasn't even sucky enough that we could go off the rails like we've done in past sucky episodes.
Yeah, there's just really nothing. Like, I wish I had more smoke for Phoebe being like, oh, there's no money in photography. But, like, what do you know about money? You borrow money from your sisters.
Especially after the fact that Piper was like, you didn't even really want to do the museum. You've always wanted to do photography, but you had to hold the house down. Like, Phoebe, shut up. Like, but honestly, really like, been, I was just exhausted with her too.
It really should have been the both of them being like, you have sacrificed enough for us. It's time you do something for yourself. But, you know, they selfish. They can only think about themselves. And with that, some witches be hoes. Blessed be.
Blessed be.